Good morning. I am Commissioner Dick Marzano, Port of Tacoma President, calling to order a regular meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on April 21st, 2026. The time is now 10 a.m. Also present in person are Commissioners Kristen Ang, Deanna Keller, and John McCarthy. Commissioner J.T. Wilcox is joining us remotely. We do have a quorum. Our meeting is being held at the Fabulous Center and streamed live on the meeting page of the Port of Tacoma's website at www.portoftacoma.com. Executive session. The commission will now meet in executive session until 12 p.m. to discuss two minimum price of real estate sale or lease terms under RCW 42.30.110 parentheses 1 parentheses 2. One potential litigation item under RCW 42.30.110 parentheses 1 parentheses small I. And one evaluation of a public employee under RCW 42.30.110 parentheses 1 parentheses G.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director, Port of Tacoma. The factors allowed to be discussed during executive session that relate to real estate sales are as follows: the size and zoning of the property, the distance from and connectivity to deepwater marine terminals, the potential for job creation, and consistency with the port's strategic plan. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I am Commissioner Dick Marzano. The time now is 12 o'clock. We were in executive session from 10 a.m. to 11:20 a.m. to discuss two minimum price of real estate sales or lease items, one potential litigation item, and one evaluation of a public employee. So if we could we begin with our Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We acknowledge that we are in the traditional homelands of the Puyallup tribe. The Puyallup people have lived on and steward these lands and continue to do so today. We consider the tribe to be our partners in many of the efforts that we undertake. Okay, the approval of the agenda. Our first item is to approve today's agenda. If there's anybody who would like to make a change on our posted agenda, please say so right now. Seeing no hands, all those in favor of the agenda as posted signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
And I see Commissioner Wilcox has said aye. Thank you. Next, we go to the Executive Director's Report. Executive Director Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Eric Johnson, Executive Director, Port of Tacoma. Several announcements today. I'm going to start with an introduction of our newest staff member, our Executive Assistant, Sarah Ortquist, sitting to my right. She started with us this month earlier, and she comes to us after a career, a number of years at Amazon. Being from Amazon, she watched me for about a week and said, Eric, you're too slow. No, she actually didn't say that. She just thought it. A couple of Earth Day comments and then a couple of transportation updates. We're celebrating Earth Day this week. Last Saturday, 118 members of the public joined port staff in a beach cleanup at the Dickman Mill Park, which was a really great event. I want to thank Leslie Barstow and Brendan Gorman for organizing that and being there that day. Tomorrow is our annual Earth Day bus tour, where we're going to tour the port's environmental sites. And we've got two different crews coming to help us this week restore some of those sites, the Northwest Youth Corps and the Earth Corps Stewardship Crew. And tomorrow, Washington State University is going to provide a briefing to the stewardship crews on our Sentinel Tree program. Sorry, not tomorrow, Thursday, which is the Sentinel Trees that are over by 509. And then finally, on the environment, we were notified recently that we have won the Washington Public Ports Association's Environmental Excellence Award for our cleanup and beach restoration at our new Maritime Center site. So that's great news. I've also got two important updates on the transportation front, both good news. On Highway 167, WashDOT has finally finalized the contract, a lump sum contract with the contractor for the last phase of 167. They're in the process of reviewing bond and insurance requirements now, and they hope to get that project officially underway, the last phase, at the end of this month. So we are already, and the funding is in the state budget. So that's one of our, I mean, that's been our highest priority for a long, long time. And then finally, on Port of Tacoma Road, I-5 interchange, also good news. The City of Fife opened the bids last week. You'll recall this is the third time they've had to rebid it because of earlier bid protests. The low bid came in $1 million lower than the previous number two bid, same contractor, Sacanti. And the city hopes to approve that at their April 28th meeting. So we should be proceeding with that as well. So two pieces of good transportation development news, and that is the end of my report.
Well, thank you. It's really nice hearing that last phase of 167, most definitely. Public comment. We will now invite the public comment. As a reminder, comment time is limited to 3 minutes per person, pursuant to RCW 42.56. Recorded public comments and public meeting sign-in sheets, including names and any contact information provided, are subject to public disclosure. We will proceed in the order of the sign-up sheet, and then if there's anybody present who hasn't signed up, they still have the opportunity. And the first name I have is Sam Merrill.
Thank you for the opportunity to address the Port of Tacoma Commission. I am Sam Merrill, member of the Board of Directors of Black Hills Audubon Society, which is now the South Sound Bird Alliance, for the past 21 years. Our group participated in the writing of and was the conservation signature to a settlement agreement in 2005 concerning many of the activities on what is now the Port of Tacoma's land that is sometimes referred to as West Rocky Prairie near Maytown in Thurston County. This settlement agreement, which is Exhibit 1 in the special use permit of 2005, was, and we assume will continue to be, a guide toward, and I'm quoting from it, the permanent conservation of priority prairie, wetland, and riparian habitat. As findings of the hearing examiner decision state, all mining operations and accessory uses have been designed to avoid critical areas, protected habitats, and threatened species. When the mining operation is complete, the property will revert to non-industrial rural uses. The proposed reclamation plan would create lakes, wetlands, and upland forest areas. In conclusion, numbered U of the special use permit, reclamation may occur simultaneously with mining in subsequent mining areas, so long as active mining is occurring in no more than two mining areas at one time. The project site has a buffer to protect the native outwash prairie and protected species there, including several species of protected butterflies. Over the past 13 years, we and another conservation organizations have managed and administered a fund to monitor the WDFW portion of West Rocky Prairie for adverse effects, take rehabilitative actions when needed. We trust that if this sale to a mining company goes through, there will be no problems with these agreements, and we look forward to working with you to protect endangered species, the aquifer, and other concerns for conservation in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it. Next, I have Sharon Kuntz.
Hello, commissioners and staff. I'm Sharon Kuntz from Olympia and the group, the Friends of Rocky Prairie, also known as FORP, just because it's easier. Just also to discuss the pending purchase of the port's property by Miles Sand and Gravel. We've been active, as some of you know from long experience of seeing me over the years, we've been trying to protect this property that Washington Fish and Wildlife calls a unique habitat matrix for 20 years. I'm glad there's young people moving up in Bodapon and Rocky Prairie to take that over. It's one of only 20 sites in the entire world with native outwash prairie, and it's one of only five that are still in decent shape. There are many threatened and endangered species there, as Sam was mentioning, including several plants, butterflies, birds, more and more, and so on. Both the special use permit, as he mentioned, that allows the gravel mining here on what's now the port property, and the settlement agreement with Audubon, signed by the port, include important protections for the land, and as well as the right for agencies to check on the property and make sure things are going there. The words of the person who sold the property were important at the hearing for the special use permit. Jay Allen said he recognized the importance of these habitats and the species that depend on the habitats, and therefore wishes to conserve them for future generations. That's our hope also, and our hope that the folks involved in the new project will feel that way too. Follow the plan laid out to protect the area, which is reclaiming it to ponds and wildlife habitat completely. And if anybody isn't enthused about protecting species, there is another good reason for this. As the former head of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services pointed out, he explained to Thurston County commissioners the importance of protecting Rocky Prairie thusly. Joint Base Lewis McCord knows that Rocky Prairie can provide mitigation for protected species that they are bombing on their prairie during training. If they lose that, they lose their flexibility. They will have to relocate their training to Eastern Washington, where there are places to bomb without hurting endangered species. West Rocky Prairie staying protected provides them their training here, and I'm pretty sure that no one wants to see thousands of soldiers leaving, relocating to Yakima and environs, effectively killing the golden goose that drives much of the local economy, both for us in Thurston County and you in Pierce County. Probably should have said golden gopher. I don't know if there are any geese on the property. Anyway, what I'm hoping is that you will please protect our prairie from as much degradation as possible, and that we can continue on the path of protecting that area. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sharon. This concludes who have signed up, but anybody in the audience that would like to make any statement right now? Okay, this concludes our public portion of the meeting. Next is the consent agenda. Items on the consent agenda are considered routine and taken up by one motion and vote unless any commissioner requests an item to be removed for individual consideration. The consent agenda consists of approval of the minutes of March 17, 2026. Disbursement certifications during the period of 3/7/26 to 4/9/26. Check numbers 5078 to 5162 and 5164 to 5415 in the amount of $14,556,293.15, and electronic payments in the amount of $6,768,134.44 for a total of $21,324,424.59. Pardon me. Check number 5163 in the amount of $3,118.31 to the State Auditor's Office. Appointment of the 2026 Bylaws Review Committee and the an approved substitute for the Audit Committee. Thank you very much. Meeting. Gosh, I'm sorry. Before proceeding, I want to clarify if approved, consent item 5D would approve a substitute commissioner to attend the Port of Tacoma and the Northwest Seaport Alliance Audit Committee meetings on April 30th, 2026. With that clarification, are there any requests to remove items from the consent agenda? Oh, thank you very much. With that, we will be voting on the consent items in two votes due to the check to the State Auditor's Office. If I could have a motion to approve the consent items 5A, 5B1, 5C, and 5D as presented.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Eng, seconded by Commissioner Keller. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Can we take a roll next time?
Okay, but I thought you could hear. No, okay, I will next time. Those opposed? Okay. That motion carried. I'd like to call for a motion for consent item 52B as presented.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Keller.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Eng. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Or excuse me, have a voice vote.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry. Commissioner Eng?
Aye.
Commissioner Keller?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy?
Abstain.
Commissioner Marzano?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilcox?
Aye.
Thank you. Passes 4 okay. to 0 to 1.
Okay, thank you. That concludes our consent item. We're now going to commission actions. This is the business section of the meeting where items are brought forth by the commissioners or staff and require a commission vote. The first item on there is a commission annual evaluation of the executive director, and I will be reading a motion, a letter that will become in the form of a motion from the commission. This is with regards to our executive director, Eric Johnson. On behalf of the Port of Tacoma Commission, we are pleased to extend our appreciation for Executive Director Eric Johnson's performance throughout 2025. Director Johnson's expertise in policy and strategy has benefited the Port of Tacoma. He has made progress in long-term planning for the port. The continued progress on the Maritime Center has been great, and your work with the Puyallup Tribe on our cutback agreement on the Burr Waterway will open up new opportunities and jobs for future generations. Those are just two of the examples of your achievements. Director Johnson has demonstrated commendable leadership and management capabilities in his role at the Port of Tacoma. Your performance in several key areas indicates a strong commitment to the organization's goals and a proactive approach to addressing challenges. Moving forward, there's still a lot of work to do, and these are just a few of them. Bringing the Maritime Center and dock project to completion, continue working on the Early Business Center redevelopment, ensure a back-to-work policy when the new Maritime Center is open, develop a matrix to grade on our accomplishments, continue looking for investment properties to help grow job opportunities. In conclusion, Director Johnson's achievement in 2025 reflects his dedication to strategic development, community engagement, and financial stewardship. His leadership has positioned the Port of Tacoma for continued success and growth in the coming years. Therefore, your salary for 2026 is $330,000. This salary reflects the hard work you have done and continue to do, and is reasonable compensation for a port our size. So with that, I'd like to, as a motion, I need a second.
Second.
Okay, discussion and or questions. Go ahead, Commissioner Hager.
I just want to thank you, Eric, for your leadership for this port. It's really come into its own, and for assembling a great team and key hire, knowing exactly how to empower our people. I think we're on our way to a great Port of Tacoma. I'm going to consider this one of the most transformative years. I always said, like, we need a director who can dream big, vision big, but also a really great operator who can make sure that it actually happens. So we're just happy that you're here. Thank you.
Commissioner Keller.
I also want to thank you so much for your hard work. And since 2020, the port has just really blossomed under your leadership. And I know that it was having to divide the Northwest Seaport Alliance and the Port of Tacoma, the way that you've done it, the new staff that you've hired under your leadership, also management of the great staff that was already existing here. And that's always a trick when you walk into an already established program. But the relationship with the Puyallup Tribe has improved. The relationship with the city has improved. We have the new Maritime Business Center, and I'll talk about that later in commissioner comments, you know, from what I saw this weekend. But I want to thank you for all your hard work and efforts. Like I said, we've grown quite a bit.
Thank you. Commissioner McCarthy.
I will be opposing this contract primarily as a result of the compensation level. I believe the $330,000 is too high for this position at this time.
Thank you. Commissioner Wilcox, any comments?
Yes,
Yes, thank you. It appears to me that outside evaluation of salary level makes us competitive. One thing that I've mentioned in the past is that it's unfortunate when you go out and search for new staff and find that in order to be competitive, you have to come up with a higher number. I'm glad to have somebody with a proven track record. And I appreciate Eric. I've been an observer for a long time of the port, only a commissioner for a short time. But the onboard process has been very impressive. And one thing that I do feel qualified to judge after a long career in public and private business, I can tell when a work group is motivated. And my observation is that Eric has helped to both identify and create the conditions for a very highly motivated workforce.
Thank you. With that, could the secretary call for the roll, please?
Commissioner Eng.
Aye.
Commissioner Keller.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Nay.
Commissioner Marzano.
Aye.
Commissioner Wilcox.
Aye.
Passes.
Okay. Thank you. Next item on the agenda on the commission action, parcel 1A tote UST site closure investigation. Eric, you want to introduce?
I think Melissa can manage just fine on her own. This relates to property out at the Early Business Center.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Melissa Keegans, Environmental Project Manager with the remediation team here at the Port of Tacoma. Today, I'll be presenting the Parcel 1A Tote UST site closure investigation authorization request. I'm here today to request project authorization in the amount of $480,000 for work associated with environmental investigation at Parcel 1A. This is the property we'll be talking about today. This is Port Parcel 1A, currently occupied by our tenant, Tote. This is 60 acres located between Alexander Avenue and the Blair Waterway. These colorful rectangles here represent 27 former underground storage tanks, or USTs, at the property. The residual contamination from these USTs is the subject of our environmental investigation and why we're seeking commission authorization today. The purpose of the project is to complete the environmental investigation needed to meet ecology's outstanding requirements for these USTs. This work will support regulatory decision making, move the parcel closer towards closure, and help reduce long-term environmental and financial risk to the port. Some background here. I mentioned we had multiple former USTs at the site. The 27 to be exact, they were removed in the late 1980s, early 1990s. All this work was done prior to modern cleanup and reporting requirements. Today, they do not meet closure requirements, and as such, the port pays ongoing Tacoma Pierce County Public Health Department permit fees, which is about $3,000 per parcel. For this project, the port is pursuing a parcel-wide no further action determination through Ecology's voluntary cleanup program. And the property is currently enrolled in that program. This no further action determination would relieve the port of paying annual health department permit fees. To touch on some history at the property, the work to date on the Tote property has been managed under the Legacy UST Remediation Program, which covers all port parcels across the Tacoma Tide Flats with USTs. And over the past 15 years, staff with consulting support have worked to close out multiple USTs on various port properties. This site is considered one of our more challenging sites due to the number of USTs. This brings us to our current investigation. We finalized our work plan with Ecology in 2023. The work involves soil, groundwater, and additional pore water sampling. Since finalizing the work plan, the port has been pursuing external grant funding to offset costs. Unfortunately, we found that the property is not eligible for EPA brownfield grant funding or ecology remedial action grants. To stay within ecology's voluntary cleanup program, the port is required to proceed with implementing this work without external funding. Some project details here. If approved, we'd like to start the work this summer, going through the fall. At the end of the year, in the fourth quarter, we will prepare a report documenting investigation results and closure recommendations for ecology review. Beginning in 2027, we'll respond to ecology comments and requests for additional information if needed. Depending on the results of that, we will return to commission, if needed, to request authorization for follow-on cleanup, remediation, or site closeout activities. Our financial summary here, the total project cost, or estimation at this point, is $480,000. This is the first commission authorization request for this project. As always, if the cost of this work will exceed the authorized amount, we will return to commission to request additional authorization. Alternatives considered. Alternative one, do nothing. Alternative two, complete the investigation to determine appropriate remedial actions and regulatory closure pathways. We believe that completing the work now would be the most economical option for the port. On top of paying these annual permit fees, waiting would likely drive up costs due to inflation. Additionally, the staff that we have that developed the work plan are still working on this project and are motivated to complete the work now. Delaying this work would require extra time to restart the project and potentially with different staff. So as such, alternative two is the recommended course by staff. As part of this project, we also considered environmental impacts. For permitting, we're going to complete the work in accordance with required permits. Stormwater, we're going to implement our stormwater best management practices, and we found that there were no impacts to air quality. Again, our action requested today, we'd like to request project authorization in the amount of $480,000 for work associated with environmental investigation at Parcel 1A, Project ID 102048.
Thank you, Melissa. Is there a motion to that effect?
Also moved.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner McCarthy, second by Commissioner Ng. Questions or comments? Commissioner McCarthy.
The investigation, the actual work that's going to be done, it looks to me like it includes, according to your memo, three different things, including additional soil borings, monitoring wells, and pore water sampling. How many different entities will do these investigations?
It is broken up into three stages, just for efficiency, but this is all one environmental contractor.
So this will be one contract?
Yes.
Will you be coming back to us then to approve the contract or not?
The stages? No, this is all going to be done in one event. I think the three stages were just broken up, so how do I say this? We wanted to make our investigation efficient, so we were starting large and working to more focused sampling, and I think that might have come across wrong in the memo.
I mean, are you calling for bids on this, public works, or are you identifying who's going to do it? Or
we will be contracting drillers. I believe that is public works. But environmental consultants, that is professional services, I believe. Rob coming up here.
Okay.
Rob Healy, remediation director. So we have one environmental consultant, Anchor QEA, is going to be doing this work. They supported us on the work plan development, and they will subcontract drillers to help them do the work for both soil borings, monitoring wells, and then the pore water. They'll do that themselves.
So you already have a contractor identified because they've done previous work then? Is that what I heard you say?
I think we have a consultant, so it's an engineering environmental consultant that's going to be doing the work.
Do we call for bids on this type of work or not?
It depends on the amount of work that we do.
Right.
Melissa, I can't remember if we did an RFQ for this or not, or are we using our on-call, which we used with an RFQ.
Right.
I think we decided to go RFQ.
Okay, so we'll be...
I'm sorry.
So we'll do an RFQ, so a request for qualifications.
I see.
Okay. And then they'll be selected through that.
I see. But because the amount is over the executive director's authorization under the master policy, I think it is. Do you have to come back and get our approval on it?
That's why we're here, for project authorization.
Right.
Yeah.
But are you going to, when you've requested proposals, then are you going to come back or not?
That's not been our practice.
Okay. Maybe Heather can help me here. You know what I'm asking? Since the amount is over the master policy that we allow the executive director to enter into contracts, is this something that needs to come back to the commission or not?
Short answer is no. It doesn't need to come back because these are done with project authorizations, and we don't bring the individual contracts with the individual contractors performing the work back to commission.
Oh, I see.
So the work gets authorized with the project, which includes whatever the contracted services are.
Right.
And then that's how those are approved. And then, of course, we follow for contracting purposes, in addition to state law and other local requirements, whatever your master policy provisions are for competitiveness and so on and so
right.
forth.
Right. So if you get proposals from two or three different folks, are you earmarking just one entity because you've worked with them, or are you giving it to the lowest proposal? Or I'm just trying to understand how this process is going to work.
So answering a little bit of contracting on the fly, which gives me a slight amount of pause, but with that caveat, this is an RFQ for personal services, correct?
It's professional services RFQs.
So the requirements for that and competition for that and how those are selected are in your master policy as well as state law. And then last month you adopted, with the master policy changes, some additional provisions that we can use other state, the MRSC rosters and other tools.
Right. I don't know how many contractors of this nature that we use, but I just want to make sure other folks in the business have an opportunity to bid, since it's a public entity, public process.
Oh, definitely. So yeah. It doesn't come back to you for further approval, but the staff is obligated to follow the requirements for competition, which does have some amounts tied to it for professional services contracting.
Great, thank you. Ordinarily, under our master policy, what's the executive director limit? Am I correct? Was it 250?
$350,000.
Yeah, that's right. We just bumped it up. I saw this amount was more than that, and that's what precipitated these questions. Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Commissioner Keller.
Thank you. Melissa, nice job. Thank you with your presentation. Out of curiosity for me and also the public who may be listening, could you describe why this project does not qualify for state grants or federal funding?
The EPA Brownfield grant, I know for sure because I manage that grant. There are requirements having to do with past ownership. I believe, I'm not sure for this particular parcel, but I believe it was ineligible due to ownership.
Phone a friend.
I don't remember the specifics on the EPA, but you asked about the state grant. So we did apply for a remedial action grant for this site, and it along with a few other sites, I think, and it was ranked last in all of our projects. So,
in other words, other projects took priority. Okay,
yep.
Thank you,
Commissioner Ng.
Okay, well, our alternative is never to do nothing. Our port MO is usually to investigate and clean up ASAP. But there's also a third part we do, which is recovering. And I'm wondering if any of these costs, like the $900,000 historically that you put in the memo and $400,000 moving forward, is any of that recoverable from any other party?
I don't think so, particularly with this property, because we purchased it from the Navy, and under CERCLA there's a petroleum exclusion. So going after the Navy for petroleum releases, the United States for petroleum releases, has not been a successful cost recovery strategy.
Bad news.
Bad news, yes. I don't see Commissioner Wilcox's hand up, so with that, I will. Clerk, you want to call the roll, please?
Sure. Commissioner Ng.
Aye.
Commissioner Keller.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano.
Aye.
Commissioner Wilcox.
Aye.
Passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda, 5-ditch tide grade Upgrades Project Authorization Increase, Dave Myers. Hello, David.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I actually have two presentations today, and I mention that because the history that I'm going to give in this first one pertains to the second one as well. So I'm here today to request project authorization increase in the amount of $1,300,000 for a total authorization amount of $1,650,000 for the work associated with the Fife Ditch Tide Gate Upgrades Project Identification Number 101597.01. So a little bit of history about the ditch. Going back to 1955, the port and the Corps entered into the Industrial Development Program, which was going to extend the waterways out and to their current location. And in doing that, the sediment material was going to be placed upland to create industrial lands adjacent to the new waterways. So I show this picture so that you can see the tide flats, how it existed back in 1955. Before this project began, the kind of long, dark, squiggly line at the top is Hylabos Creek, and then Taylor Way is the line on the bottom here with the middle turning basin for the Hylabos showing there. As part of this project, like I said, millions of cubic yards of material was going to be placed upland, and the Corps mandated during this work that the port extend the streams and creeks to the waterways so that they continued to flow properly, as well as create any ditches and so forth to pick up natural seeps and groundwater and get that to drain as well so it wasn't trapped behind the new sediment. This image from 1961 shows the Hylabos again, and you can see how it's extended from the middle turning basin. The end turning basin is under dredging activities and stuff. The bright white areas are the sediment that has been placed adjacent to the new waterways, creating that industrial land that I mentioned. In 1959, the Fife Ditch was installed. It's down in the bottom of the picture. I can't see this, but when I point at it, I guess I can't point either, but it's down at the bottom of the picture where the white ends and so forth, and running up across to Hylabos Creek, which has been extended and channelized out to the end of the new turning basin. This image from 1971, it's a little grainy, but it shows that same area. It shows the ditch, which I pointed to with the arrow on the right. That's the ditch that was put in 1959. It shows the pump house that was installed in 1964 by the drainage district with the port's financial assistance. I want to point out just a little fun fact. The pump house was installed in 1964 at a cost of $11,700. The port paid 50% of that. So inflation makes that slightly more expensive in today's dollars. And in 1963, the Corps mandated that the port have responsibility to maintain the ditches that we constructed as part of this program. And you can also see in this image some of the log storage that was going on the Pony Lumber site on the what would be the kind of the northwest side of the ditch. So this brings me to an image that's probably a little bit easier to see. So the area that you see, the blue line, that is almost three quarters of a mile of ditch that the port installed in 1959. The yellow circle is the area that this project, the request is in relation to. And then my next request is the dashed polygon that you see also in yellow down next to parcel 12. So the scope of work for this request involves the installation of some concrete vaults that you see in red and two inline check valves that will control the flow of water out of the ditch and prevent the tidal water within Hylabos Creek from backing up into the ditch. It installs a new trash collection system that'll function better. It'll direct the trash over towards the bottom of the ramp there. And in a lot much safer way than the current operation that the maintenance has to do to go out there and try to rake the trash up the existing trash grates at the end of the culverts. We'll be improving that ramp so that they'll be able to access it much better, and then we'll be removing the rubber duckbill tide gates that are on the Hylabos Creek side. Part of the work with the new inline check valves is they function at a much better flow rate when it's like a low flow scenario in the summertime. What happens is that the existing duct bills take a significant amount of head pressure to actually open up, and so they trap the water behind them. That water becomes deoxygenated and warm and very stagnant, and then when we do get an event, that stagnant warm water dumps into the Hylabos Creek and makes it kind of an unhealthy situation. And since this location is surrounded by multiple habitat sites, we want to try and remedy that. So with approval today, my intention is to be out to bid middle of May, and we'll be looking at substantial completion around the end of September. We definitely want to try to get the bulk of this work done during the dry season so we're not fighting water in the ditch. Estimated cost of the project, as I mentioned, is $1,650,000. The estimate for doing the completion of the design, permitting, and construction is $1,300,000. And to date, this is kind of a complete cost breakdown, but to date we've spent just a little over $305,000 on the design and permitting effort. As far as permitting, we do have all of the city and state permits that we need to complete this work. The sediment that we're going to be removing as part of the cleanup of the ditch will be taken to a landfill just because of the nature of sediment in a ditch. The stormwater, these new tide gates, as I mentioned, will eliminate the unhealthy situation that develops in the creek. The trash collection will allow for a much better improved collection of trash in a much safer way. And there is no impact to the air quality as associated with this project. And so with that, I'd like to request project authorization increase in the amount of $1,300,000 for a total authorized amount of $1,650,000 for work associated with the Fife Ditch Tide Gate Upgrades Project Identification Number 101597.01.
Thank you, David. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Keller, second by Commissioner Eng. Comments and/or questions? Go ahead. Commissioner Wilcox.
Thank you. I don't intend to disrupt this project at all, but I do want to mention again that as we do projects, I hope that we will be aware that we might be creating additional opportunities for predation. This one probably doesn't really involve pit-a-pit predation, but you know, we could be building places that would lend themselves to avian predation. And so I just hope that as we move along, we can keep that in mind and maybe reach out for advice from WDFW or others, even among nonprofits that might have expertise in that.
Thank you. Sure. Any other comments? Commissioner McCarthy.
Drainage District 23, which is in Fife, I had some conversations with them about 5 years ago, and I think some of this responsibility was theirs, was it not? Explain that to me, if you would.
There's a couple of things going on. So Drainage District 23 is, for all practical purposes, defunct. They have no active commissioners at this point in time. So we are engaging with some conversations with Fife to determine kind of how we move that forward. The county and others are involved in that discussion as well. But with respect to the work that we're proposing here, this is all the port's responsibility. The only responsibility that the district has is with the pump station itself. We helped pay for that when they built it, and then they maintain sole responsibility for its maintenance and operation.
The reason I think that's important, I didn't know that they didn't have any commissioners now. I do know that they have collected drainage ditch taxes from the citizens of Fife for many, many years. And so I encourage you to, as you discuss this matter with Fife, explore that and find out what's gone on with regard to the drainage ditch ditch tax proceeds.
Fife has already had those conversations with the county, and there is a significant amount of money in that the county holds for them.
Right. So I wanted to alert you. I'm glad you know about that, but maybe there's an opportunity to get some shared payment on this project.
Mr. President, I can actually, if I could jump in here just real quick for some relevant context. You're correct, Commissioner McCarthy, that although we're in the strict, these diking and drainage districts are odd little government entities.
Say that again.
Odd. They're unusual. They're not like other local governments. All three of the commissioners have died.
Yeah.
For DD-23. So they don't have any governance structure right now.
Right.
They are collecting money, and we checked on how much. The city of Fife has worked with us, and that's about $1 million is what they have in an account. That's probably not enough to pay for a new pump house, but I don't know if it is or not. But the city of Fife is exploring whether they should take over the DD-23. Okay. Other drainage districts around the county, or around the state for that matter, have been absorbed by the local government, either the county or the city, depending on where you are. So we're exploring with Fife and the county a little bit whether it makes sense for them to take on those responsibilities.
Right. I do know that as a drainage ditch, the state auditor's office audits them. So they have funds. So it sounds to me like you're aware of some of these things that I asked a question about. So keep exploring that. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? If they want to take it over, I think it go right ahead. That's important. Okay. Seeing none, could the clerk call the roll, please?
Commissioner Eng.
Aye.
Commissioner Keller.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano.
Aye.
Commissioner Wilcox.
Aye.
Motion
Thank
passes.
You. Thank you. Well, Thank David, you. Go up number two.
So again, I'm here. This one is associated with the Neptune Mitigation Project. So I'm here today to request project authorization increase in the amount of $2,250,000 for a total authorized amount of $3,850,000 for work associated with the Neptune Mitigation Project, identification number 101711. So the Neptune mitigation is compensation for wetland impacts associated with the snail eradication on parcel 117. So you can see parcel 117 is the dark blue on the left-hand portion of the screen here. There is some critical areas on that site, and as part of the snail eradication, we are impacting those. And so the impacts, the mitigation for that is being accomplished at parcel 12. That's today's request is associated with parcel 12 and parcel 37D. And we're also using some mitigation credit from the lower Wapato site. So the image in the bottom right is an image of parcel 12. We are in process is what we're working with is about 6 acres of the site. We'll be creating about 3 acres of new wetland, and we're going to be enhancing and wetland and upland areas to about 2.5 acres. So it's going to be a total of about 5.5 acres of habitat on parcel 12. Today's request and the work that we're going to be accomplishing under this first phase of work, which is preparatory to next year's work, which will actually create the wetland, is the maintenance of the Fife Ditch, which you see in the yellow area here. That basically involves reshaping the ditch to its original design parameters, removing sediment from the bottom and vegetation from the sidewalls so that the flow and capacity is restored within this section of the ditch. We'll be removing some contaminated soils, and I'm using that term very broadly in this respect because a lot of the areas that you see in the dark blue are areas that were impacted by the homeless encampments that we had on this site for a number of years. That material isn't necessarily contaminated, but it's laden with just general debris and stuff left over from the homeless encampments. We do have a small pocket of slag-like material. It's kind of that little greenish bulb down at the bottom of the screen. And then we are also removing some invasive plant root mass along Taylor Way. That's mainly reed canary grass and yellow flag iris. To get that out of the wetland area so we don't have to contend with it as we're trying to develop the wetland. We're also going to be removing a significant amount of the trees on the site, again, for opening it up for the development that we're going to be doing next year. Part of that development, we anticipate that we're going to have to excavate 3 to 5 feet of material from the site, and the trees will just be in the way for accomplishing that work, as well as part of this cleanup from the homeless activity. Excuse me. So on this image, you see in the upper left, the profile of the ditch. You can see the shaded areas. That's some of the built-up sediment within the ditch that we need to remove. And as I said, we'll be scraping the sidewalls down to remove the vegetation from them and then replanting them with a native grass species and covering it with jute matting. The image that I chose here just kind of gives you a flavor for the extent of the homeless encampments that we had on parcel 12 up till a couple of years ago. At one point, we had as many as 32 campsites on this piece of property. So when we did the original removal, just a little bit more history, we removed about 130 tons of material from the site after the homeless were relocated off of it. That work occurred in January and February, so it was right during the rainy season. The site was very muddy, and a lot of that material just got tracked in as part of that original effort. And so this effort is going to be to remove remaining material that we have that kind of got blended in with the soil and stuff like that. There is quite an extent of debris and trash out on the site yet. And at the bottom image, you can see the circled areas with the trees inside of it. Those are tree protection zones. The trees that are outside of those circled areas are the ones that will be removed to allow this effort to happen. But then also those are areas that the trees will be preserved for the future development. Also add that when we do the habitat site, even though we're removing a significant number of the trees this year, we'll be planting hundreds of trees and native trees and native shrubs next fall winter time frame. So with authorization today, again, we'll be looking to go out to bid in mid-May with a substantial completion date in mid-September. The slide here gives you a little bit of information. The total Neptune mitigation is estimated at $10.9 million. As I noted, that's broken up between the two properties, parcel 12 and 37D. The estimated cost of the work at parcel 12 is just over $8.5 million, and at 37D, it's just about $2.35 million. To date, we've spent about $445,000 on parcel 12 doing design and permitting, and on parcel 37, just under $110,000. So with that, I'd like to, just another slide here. So what we're looking for today is approximately $2.25 million to complete the design and construction associated with this request. Permitting, we have all of our environmental permits that we need. We are still waiting on the city site development permit, which we anticipate having in the next few weeks. We're also waiting on the ecology construction stormwater permit, which we're also anticipating that we'll have in the next few weeks. We'll wait until we have all of those permits before we go out to bid. As far as the remediation, we'll be looking, we're getting a waste disposal authorization from the county. The material that we are excavating this year from the ditch and from the site will be going to LRI just because of the nature of what's in it. The pocket of slag-like material, we are going to be seeking a no further action with the Department of Ecology on that, so we'll be doing subsequent testing and stuff to make sure that we did remove all of that material from the site. Stormwater, once we're done, the ditch should have better flow and capacity, and restoring it to its original design capacities, and there should be no impacts to air quality as part of this work. So with that, I'd like to request project authorization increase in the amount of $2,250,000 for a total authorized amount of $3,850,000 for the work associated with the Neptune Mitigation Project, identification number 101711.
Thank you, David. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Ng, second by Commissioner Keller. Questions and or comments? Commissioner Ng.
Sure. So is this cleanup and habitat, you know, the port's purpose, or is it truly just connected to the snails? And how much have we spent on this invasive snail invasion?
Hi, good afternoon, Commissioners. Kristen Everett, Permitting and Habitat Development. Over the last 20 years, we spent $1.5 million on eradication efforts for the snails.
And this would add to that, but how related is that?
So this would add some mitigation costs, but once the wetlands on 117 are filled and are mitigated, there's no additional snail eradication costs associated with that property.
But this, we are doing this to create some habitat credits as well, correct? Or
no, this project is just associated with some of the impacts. So there's critical areas that have developed on parcel 117 over the years. As part of the snail eradication, those critical areas are going to be filled and covered with gravel. And so we have to mitigate for that. And the mitigation, the requirements for that are being accomplished at parcel 12 and 37D. And then there's a little bit of extra credit that's still needed that we're going to be using from Lower Wapato.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? Just one quick one from me. You mentioned it earlier, but then you made sure it was clear that though we'll be removing trees, we'll be replanting a lot of trees also. I think one of the reasons I want to say that is that sometimes we have people that only hear the removal of trees and not the fact that we're also going to be planting a lot more trees and shrubs to help create more, to help with that habitat.
Right.
So I just want to make sure, that was said.
Right, and to add to that, the trees and shrubs that we're going to be planting, it's going to be a variety of native species, so it'll give it a more diverse, habitat and stuff. Right now, it's pretty much a monoculture of cottonwoods and canary grass. So,
thank you, David. Okay, no other comments or questions. Could the clerk call the roll, please?
Commissioner Hang.
Aye.
Commissioner Keller.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano.
Aye.
Commissioner Wilcox.
Aye.
Thank you, David.
Yep. Thank you.
Next item, authorization to execute and purchase a sale agreement. Tyra.
Hello, good afternoon. I am Tyra Diefenbach, the Senior Manager of Real Estate here at the Port of Tacoma. Here to speak on the authorization to execute a purchase and sale agreement at 13120 Tilley Road Southwest. So again, here to authorize the executive director or his designee to execute a purchase and sale agreement dated April 21st, 2026 with Miles Sand and Gravel Company, the buyer, to sell port-owned real property located at 13120 Tilley Road Southwest in Thurston County, Washington, and to execute any additional documents and take any and all additional actions necessary through the closing of the sale consistent with the purchase and sale agreement. So on this first slide, we have a vicinity map. You'll see that this property is located within Thurston County, just south of Olympia. The map on the right is the property boundaries map, and this property is approximately 745 acres. Just to give you a lay of the land, I'm going to go through a couple background slides, and then I'll get into the details of the purchase and sale agreement. This property was originally purchased July 28, 2006, pursuant to an interlocal agreement with the Port of Olympia with the intent to jointly develop the property. The interlocal agreement was subsequently terminated. Zoning for this property is R120. And this zoning permits low-density residential, agricultural, forestry, conservation, and associated uses that do not require urban services. Mining is allowed on the property via a special use permit issued by the Thurston County. In March of 2010, the Port of Tacoma Commission approved Resolution 2010-04 that determined the property surplus to the port's needs. In addition, the resolution authorized the property to be sold at that time to Maytown Sand and Gravel. Unfortunately, Maytown Sand and Gravel was unable to fulfill their contractual obligations of the real estate contract, and the property was turned back to the port in 2013. Since 2013, port staff has actively marketed the property for sale. And in 2018, the port received an offer from a development company and a purchase and sale agreement was signed at that time. However, the purchase and sale was contingent on a zoning reclassification that was unable to be completed, and as such, that agreement was terminated in 2021. So during the entirety of the port's ownership of this property, port staff have taken all necessary steps to maintain the site's existing mining permits and entitlements, including completing the required 5-year review of the special use permit with Thurston County. In 2024, the port obtained an appraisal of the property, and the appraiser determined that the highest and best use of the property was as a gravel mine and set the fair market value at $20 million. Since the appraisal, the port has received several written offers for purchase of the property. After careful review of the offers received, port staff have concluded that the proposed purchase and sale provides the best combination of price as well as terms and conditions. The successful sale of this property will do several things: remove a non-performing asset from the port's balance sheet, eliminate the cost of maintaining the site's permits, and satisfy the port's obligation to sell the property. So we'll move on to the terms and conditions of the sale. Our prospective buyer is Miles Sand and Gravel, with a sale price of $17.25 million in cash. The earnest money proposed is $500,000, due 5 business days from execution of the purchase and sale. The due diligence is 120 days from the effective date of the purchase and sale, so if approved, that would be today, and would last until approximately August 20th of 2026. They have 3 due diligence extension options that are consecutive 30-day periods. If enacted, the approximate date ranges are listed below. That would extend due diligence potentially through November of this year. Each due diligence extension is an additional $50,000 deposit to escrow in addition to the $500,000 deposit. Closing would be 30 days after the end of due diligence, including any extension options that are exercised, which would put that on or before December 22nd of this year, depending on how long the due diligence lasts. There is no broker commission. Neither party chose to use a broker for this transaction. The closing fees, the port will pay for the owner's title policy and title insurance, and half of the escrow fees. The purchaser will pay recording costs and the other half of the escrow fees. And there's also a provision to transfer all mining approval and permits to the buyer. Just a quick slide on the financial summary. The current net book value of the property is $7.84 million. So an unbudgeted gain on sale will be recorded in 2026 upon completion of the sale. Here's an overview of the timeline. If we execute the purchase and sale today, escrow money would be due in escrow by April 28th. We have a due diligence period lasting from mid-April to mid-August, a couple extension options in there, and closing to happen on or before December 22nd. So with that, I am requesting today authorization for the executive director or his designee to execute a purchase and sale agreement dated April 21st, 2026 with Miles Sand and Gravel Company to sell port-owned real property located at 13120 Tilley Road Southwest, Thurston County, Washington, and to execute any additional documents and take any and all actions necessary through closing of the sale consistent with the purchase and sale agreement.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to that effect?
I so move.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McCarthy, second by Commissioner Keller. Questions, comments? Commissioner Ng.
Well, first I want to thank you for your work on this property and for ensuring that the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife was given the first opportunity to acquire it. While it's unfortunate that a full agreement could not be reached, my understanding is this proposed sale to Miles Sand and Gravel represents the best available offer at this time. My question, probably to you and to Heather,
Can we confirm that all parties are fully aware of the settlement obligations with the Audubon Society, as mentioned in the public comments, and that the terms of this transaction will continue to uphold the protections for land and wildlife as outlined in the agreement and referenced in that public comment?
Thanks, Commissioner Ng. I think what I can say is that settlement agreement is recorded on title of the property, runs with the land, and so it's binding on the successors to the property, which would include anybody we sell to. I'm not sure I can, it wouldn't be appropriate, I don't think, for us to then say what the subsequent purchaser does with it, right? But it is recorded on title and runs with the land.
Okay, thank you.
In addition to, as they mentioned in public comment, being specifically referenced in the permitting documents associated with the mine.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Go ahead, Commissioner Keller.
Thank you. Great presentation and great explanation. Just want to thank the real estate team, also legal and Executive Director Johnson for this hard work on this. I mean, I think it's a good solution for all of us. Thank you.
Yeah, just a quick comment. 20 years ago, the port at that time, along with the Port of Commission of Olympia, made the decision to purchase the property in what we believed at the time was the right decision. And if we go back to that date, I'd still say the same thing. 20 years later, here we are today, and Sharon and I go back a little bit talking about this. Remember going to a Olympia Commission meeting where, needless to say, the room was probably a little bit bigger than this and completely full, no doubt. But I am glad we're moving in this area, and I want to thank the Real Estate Department for bringing it to us. So with that, could the clerk call the roll, please?
Commissioner Ng.
Aye.
Commissioner Keller.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano.
Aye.
Commissioner Wilcox.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you very much. This concludes our action items for the commission meeting. We are now at special order of business. I see none. Any commissioner has any new business? I see none. Any committee reports? I also see none. There's no issue briefing. Announcements? Executive Director Johnson, you have any announcements?
I just signed the purchase and sale agreement.
Very good. Commissioner comments. I'll start with Commissioner McCarthy and work on my way down.
Sure. As you all know, I had an opportunity to travel with the mayor of the city of Tacoma to China a couple of weeks ago. And I want to report to you, it was an 8-day trip, 4 cities, so very, very quick in and out each city. And it was a very productive visit, I can tell you, having witnessed all the meetings that we had. The city, primarily the port, wants to support the city of Tacoma in their efforts, particularly with regard to China. As you know, China is the largest importer into the United States through the Northwest Seaport Alliance, so they're a very big customer of ours. The city had been invited to participate in a U.S.-China Youth and Student Exchange program to, first of all, celebrate the 55th anniversary of the ping pong diplomacy, when the U.S. sent ping pong players to China during Richard Nixon's presidency. So we were there for that purpose, and it was a big deal in China. The vice president of China attended the event and spoke at the event. A large contingency from Lincoln High School attended, probably 20 football players, both men and women, boys and girls football teams, flag football. They played exhibition games of flag football. So there was a large contingency from Tacoma. And in my role as port commissioner, it was particularly important to visit with the port of Fuzhou, who actually is a sister port of the Tacoma. That sister port arrangement was arrived at in 1994, and there hadn't been much port-to-port contact between Tacoma and Fuzhou since then. Met with the port officials there, actually talked about a couple of common customers that we have with the Northwest Seaport Alliance that they have, and actually talked about some potential opportunities that I'm going to extend to John Wolf of the Northwest Seaport Alliance to see he gets engaged in that. So then the visit concluded in Shanghai for 2 days, where we met with two of the districts of Shanghai, two of the very big districts that are the economic development movers of much of the trade that flows through Shanghai, the first or second largest port in the world, depending upon whose numbers you believe. Incredible port, though. Met with the district officials, talk about some economic development opportunities, and so several other different events attended, but it was very supportive of the city of Tacoma. We are a port city. We talked about that a lot, how the port works very closely with the city and really wants to work closely now as they expand their economic development opportunities to grow the city. So 8 days, 4 cities, moving pretty quick, but all in all, it was a successful trip, I believe.
Very good. Commissioner Keller.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner McCarthy, for representing us on that trip, important trip. Also wanted to mention, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that this Sunday, beautiful weather, I was on a boat in the Daffodil Marine Parade, and as we worked our way down to PFAS Waterway, we turned around at the very end, came back, and there were about 25 people on the boat who were from out of town, and as we went up before the 11th Street Bridge, they looked over and said, "What is that building?" And it was the Maritime Business Center, and so I was really proud to be able to talk about all the work that went into this and the excellent staff who worked on that. In fact, those in the room, can you please raise your hands? It was just a seamless project. I know that they, oh, come on, don't be shy. Yes, that includes communications too, because you did a great job documenting everything, but did everything with working with BNSF to move railroad areas to remediate that property. We'll be putting in a dock. It's just an iconic fixture and one I know we're all proud of, and it was delivered. It will be delivered on time and on budget. And that's the Tacoma advantage. So thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Ng, any comments, questions?
I'd also like to thank Commissioner McCarthy for representing us in China. I do believe this is kind of the way for the Port of Tacoma and the City of Tacoma is to lead some diplomatic efforts. I highly believe in trade, exchange, innovation, peace and collaboration. Especially as China is still our number one trading partner and actually is the global leader in renewable energy scale and development, something that we can all work on together. So here's looking to hosting some delegations in our new beautiful Maritime Center. I'm really looking forward to being there and to we don't have to have a karaoke party, like I said earlier, but we must have a party at our new building.
Will do. Commissioner Wilcox, any comments?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say I appreciate my hardworking colleagues and the people that work hard as part of our port staff. I've been involved in political organizations in the past, there's always a fair number of people that use it for attention, and I can say I don't really think that's the case. Really happy to be part of this group.
Thank you, and I just want to close. We have no other further business, but once again to thank staff for all the work you do and help us make us look pretty good. So thank you all for back there. The time now is 1:11, and seeing no further action, we will stand adjourned. Thank you all.